Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 17, handling the widespread failure of leaders. We're living in an unsettling era marked by a widespread failure of leaders. It's occurring with world leaders. Britain recently installed its fourth Conservative Party prime minister in 12 years. David Cameron resigned after Britain rejected his advice and had voted for Brexit in 2016. Theresa May was ousted in 2019 after failing to implement Brexit. Boris Johnson got Brexit done, but was ousted for ethics violations this summer. And his successor, Liz Truss, could lose a general election, which has to be held by January 2025. And across the channel, France's allegedly Jupiterian President Emmanuel Macron was reelected in April. But in June, voters installed a solid anti-Macron majority in Parliament. Angela Merkel, German Chancellor from 2005 to 2021, has seen her politics and policies repudiated by events. Reliance on Russian natural gas and in cloudy and not especially windy northern Europe on wind and solar energy and closure of nuclear plants has left Germans scarfing up firewood to get through the winter. Merkel's appeasement of Russia was followed by its invasion of Ukraine, and her low military budgets have left Germany unable to provide much help to the Ukrainians. Vladimir Putin's demoralized troops have failed to conquer Ukraine. His aggression has pushed Finland and Sweden into applying to join NATO. His economy has taken a hit and may stagger for more years to come. His pal Xi Jinping in China may get another 10 years term as Chinese leader, but China's economy, with a decline in working-age population and stringent COVID-19 lockdowns, is no longer growing rapidly, if at all. Xi's China has crushed Hong Kong's liberties, but has made enemies of all of China's neighbors. In the United States, any positive trends under Joe Biden have been overwhelmed by chaotic results, plausibly flowing from his party's policies. Out-of-control inflation, out-of-control illegal immigration, out-of-control violent crime. The economy hasn't snapped back to pre-pandemic conditions, and school lockdowns have left many children behind. Leaders are failing at lower institutional levels as well. A major cause for the failure of government officials to handle the COVID-19 pandemic well has been an over-reliance on the prescriptions of supposed experts, from economists to epidemiologists. Some studies indicate that lockdowns prompted by epidemiologists' models based on deadlier diseases produced minimal reductions in deaths but imposed high ancillary, that's additional health, economic and educational costs. Similarly, economists recommended pumping large sums of money into the economy, though it has been damaged in ways far different from how it was in 20th century recessions. Their prescriptions have failed to restore pre-pandemic workforce levels and have produced unpredicted inflation. Leadership failure occurs in evangelical circles. Believers who have recently been exposed to ministries elsewhere tell us of a lack of true Bible teaching there. It fits a report by radio Bible teacher Dr. John G. Mitchell, who 45 years ago said, quote, "I receive stacks of letters. They tell me if it were not for your program," his radio program, "I do not know where I would be fed the word of God." That's tragic. "Why aren't these people being shepherded by their pastors?" asked Dr. Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell was the founder of Multnomah School of the Bible that I attended. He was one of our professors there at the time. He's now with the Lord. But he wrote an article, "The Vanishing Art of Expository Preaching," back in 1977. So we ask, why is there an extensive failure by leaders in many realms, and how should we respond? I want to read the chapter, and then we'll look at it. Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned upon in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore mine heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame and that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for the reward of their shame, that they say unto me, Aha! Aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. In contrast to David's, and today's actually widespread failure by many leaders, Israel's King David, who wrote this psalm, became a tremendous success. When David came to the throne, Israel had just suffered a crushing defeat by the Philistines. In fact, if you look at that passage that I put down, 2 Samuel 1, 1-5, 3, a lot of the territory of northern Israel had actually been taken over by the Philistines when David came to the throne. But due to his 40-year reign, in 2 Samuel 5, 4-5, Israel became a mighty and a wealthy nation, 1 Kings 2, 1-10:29. The materials that were used for the building of the temple were all left by David. Solomon didn't have to use any of it if he didn't want to. There were millions of dollars worth of gold and silver and iron and wood. David donated his entire estate to the building of the temple after he had gone. Well, the reason for David's success was his obedience to Deuteronomy chapter 17, 14 to 20, and this is revealed in Psalm 41 to 17. God had directed that Israel's kings obey Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20 in order to enjoy his blessings on their reigns. And we're going to look at that passage a little later in the message that we have. Well, evidence that David had heeded Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20 is given in Psalm 40, 1 to 17 as follows. In verses 1 to 5 of Psalm 40, David told of God's past deliverances of him from trials when he had trusted in the Lord. What's interesting is that in verses 6 to 10 of Psalm 40, David explained why God had saved him from those trials as follows. Significantly, in Psalm 40, verses 6 and following, God had not preferred sacrifice and offerings from David, but he had dug out literally the cavity of David's ear. The Hebrew word is bara, and it means to dig out like digging out a well. Now, what does that mean? Well, David explained that God had dug out the cavity of his ear as if the Lord was figuratively digging out a well. If you picture your ear this way, pretend that God, when he was in the process of forming you, decided you needed to have ears. So he dug out the area, and the area that he dug out, the excess, became the earlobe out here. So you're looking at a well down there. God had gone through the process of digging out David's ear so that he would listen to God, and then after listening to God, he will obey God. And as a result of obeying God, that God could bless him. So David had then heard and obeyed God's word, testifying to others that he had done so in Psalm 47 to 10. Now, what's so significant about the digging out of the ear so he could hear is that Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20, that's a major portion of that passage that we're going to be looking at, it stressed the need for Israel's kings to read and apply Scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to let you know. Leaders today, to be successful, have got to think like God wants them to think and then act like God wants them to act. A lot of leaders today are absolutely ignorant of what God wants them to do, or they're not paying attention to it. And as a result, they're not being blessed. You need to do what God wants you to do as a leader to be blessed. So consequently, in Psalm 40, 11 to 17, David pleaded for the Lord's deliverance from current trials that he faced due to God's discipline for his sins in line with the Davidic covenant. David admitted there that he had sinned, and God had warned in his word, according to 2 Samuel 7:14, that if the king or the Davidic king sins, God will punish him with the rod of men. Now he's going to use enemies to afflict David so that David would come around and repent. So, in other words, David had learned to continue staying aligned with Scripture, though he at times strayed from it. For God would graciously discipline David to correct him that God might keep on blessing him. This goes, incidentally, not only for leaders who are world leaders. The same thing goes for pastors in local churches. Same thing goes for business leaders. I've talked to business leaders, men who have started their own businesses and who are working, sometimes CEOs and whatnot, and they tell me that there's a tremendous correlation between what God requires of pastors and the pastoral epistles and what they have to do as CEOs. Very, very similar, because you're working with people. Now, by way of Revelation 3:21, we can apply the spiritual truths of Deuteronomy 17:14-20 for God's blessing to fulfill the vacuum of good leaders that we face amid today's widespread failure of all sorts of leaders. We've learned in our past studies that Christ's Revelation 3:14-22 message to the Laodicean church applies to believers in our era of church history. We have a sermon online. You can find it, Sunday Sermon 20171126.htm. We have that there, and that deals with, and it's on our website. We've also found that Revelation 3:21, in light of Revelation 7:17, predicts that we will face a mini great tribulation, not the real tribulation that occurs after the rapture, but during this time, where troublesome leaders will oppress their subjects. That's a situation that God will allow in order to drive people to churches that expound Scripture so that they might be saved and obtain spiritual balm and nurture. I really believe that that's going on right now. We hear from many sectors, not only in our area but around the country, where people are pretty much fed up with leadership in all sorts of realms, whether it's business, whether it's government, many ecclesiastical areas and churches and whatnot. They're looking for something to take that to fill that vacuum. And they're going to find it in churches that expound Scripture, because the pastors who are expounding Scripture are paying attention to Scripture. And that's why God is going to use them. Now, in this era, Revelation 3:21-7:17 also indicates that God will raise up an overcomer, or it could be overcomers, we're not sure, to have great impact figuratively in Christ's earthly Davidic throne. That's the only in the book of the Revelation are we dealing with enthroned. Christ is in the Father's throne right now, and Christ here promises to put pastors and expositors in his earthly Davidic throne. As they expound Scripture to others, in other words, he's going to give them tremendous influence on the earth. Now, if God promised literal Davidic kings success for heeding Deuteronomy 17:14-20, we can apply the spiritual truths of that passage to succeed as overcomers while we figuratively minister in Christ's throne today. Now, in the conclusion section, we're going to look in depth at that passage in Deuteronomy, because I've been building up to it in the message. So the lesson is, David became a great success as king by heeding God's Deuteronomy 17:14-20 directives for Israel's kings, as seen by his words in Psalm 41-17. So by way of Revelation 3:21 with 7:17 that applies to our era, we can heed the spiritual truth of Deuteronomy 17:14-20 to fulfill today's widespread vacuum of good leaders. The first thing, however, we need to do before we can apply anything in Scripture is we have to relate to God. This is where we need to trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. See, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is eternal separation from God in hell. So what we need to do is to have that situation rectified to where we come into relationship with God. How do we come into relationship with God? Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, paid for the penalty of our sins and the sins themselves and the punishment of the sins. He took it upon himself. He died, he was buried, he bodily rose again. And if we believe that Christ died for us, was buried and rose again, that we might have eternal life, God gives us eternal life. And we are born into the family of God, we become children of God, and then we are in relationship with God. And once we're in relationship with God, then we can apply all the rest of these scriptures. But I encourage people, whether you're in our service this morning or listening by way of the MP3 or the cell phone, please make the decision to believe in Christ as your Savior that you might have eternal life. And then second, may we heed the spiritual truths of Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20. And we're going to explain this in the conclusion section. To be used of God to offset today's widespread lack of good leaders. So in the conclusion, we deal with God's directives regarding Israel's kings in Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20 that spiritually apply to effective leadership, that we might apply them to be used of God to be a blessing and fill today's vacuum of good leaders. Number one, where today's failed leaders are often detached from their subjects and they do not understand their needs. This is a colossal need at the world level. We must interact with regular people to understand them and meet their needs. Deuteronomy 17:15, this verse required that Israel's kings come from the people they were to lead, that they might understand them and address their needs. It's very, very important to understand and know the people. This is another reason as a pastor, I've been here for 40 years, but I believe very strongly in long-term pastors, because it takes a while really to get to know the people and for the people to get to know you. And that's very important for the dynamics to take hold. Number two, where today's failed leaders often resort to manipulation to try to retain power. Deuteronomy 17:16 and 17b with Isaiah 31:1 teach that God calls us overcomers to rely on him, not on man's methods or assets to succeed. I remember when I was in Bible college and seminary, we were given book after book as to what you need to do this in the pastor, you need to do that in the pastor. And after about 15 or 20 years in the pastor, I put those books away and I got out 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and haven't looked back since. Those are the books that we need for leadership. Where today's leaders, number three, often adopt elitist or unbiblical ideologies like catastrophic climate change, which violates Genesis 8:22, Marxist income redistribution, globalism, the mixing of religious corporations and governments into one unholy conglomerate, etc. Deuteronomy 17:17a called Israel's kings not to marry foreign pagan women lest they influence the kings toward idolatry. So we must avoid ungodly associations that can lead us to sin. 2 John 9 and 10 talks about separating from those who are apostates, who absolutely repudiate the Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, withdrawing even from believers who disobey the word, and instead fellowship with godly people for God to use us as clean and effective vessels. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 to 22. Now, where today's leaders often neglect Bible truth for errant ideas, God calls us to expose our minds and our hearts to the daily intake of Scripture. That's Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. This involves acquiring a Bible and essential quality Bible study tools. And you can go just about as deep as you want here. You know, if you get to the point where the commentaries are not enough, you want to do work in the Hebrew and the Greek and Aramaic, fine, I'll give you some books I'll recommend the books that you want. Go as deep as you want. And study Scripture daily. Deuteronomy 17:19 said the king had to read from it every day of his life. The reason is you get your mind clouded and occluded with stuff in the world, and you need to get that mind cleared out and get back into God's Word. And that will result in revering the Lord, Deuteronomy 17:19b, and obeying all of His Word, Deuteronomy 17:19c. These actions, in turn, will keep us humble in relating to others that we might effectively influence them. See, a lot of leaders today are not humble, and as a result, they become useless. You've got to be humble. Recognize that you're a student. You're a lifelong student, Deuteronomy 17:28. And it keeps us from turning aside from Scripture's truth. Now, applied especially to pastors and Bible teachers, the overflow of Scripture's intake and application in our lives will readily equip us effectively to teach others. That's what 1 Timothy 4:12 through 16 and 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2 reveal. In accord with this truth, Dr. Mitchell said, quote, "If a pastor loves his flock, he'll feed it, but he cannot feed a flock if he's not feeding himself. He must be a man of the book," and by book he meant Bible. And he was forever telling us, "Have you read your Bible today? Have you read your Bible today?" When I took Romans from him, this was his assignment. He says, "You have got to read the book of Romans a million times." And we looked at him, we chuckled. He says, "I'm not kidding." He says, "You need to read the book of Romans a million times. You need it." And dear man of God, he's now with the Lord. Now, as a result of heeding all these directives, God will prolong our influence. Deuteronomy 17:20, first with our families, Deuteronomy 17:20 D&E, and thereby with other people, in ever-widening circles of contact so that we affect our community, our nation, and the world. That's implied. And we do so for righteousness. The rise of many such holy influencers, the overcomers of Revelation 3:21, in winding circles of in contact, will fill the vacuum of good leaders. There's evidence that, remember the pilgrims who came to this country on the Mayflower? There's evidence that they had enormous impact in setting the stage for the development of capitalism in this country, because they had tried socialism and it didn't work. They almost starved to death, so they switched to capitalism and it worked beautifully. So when the other separatists or Puritans came over to this country, they started to copy what the pilgrims were doing because they were having success. And this is where the work ethic developed right here in the United States. It started with the pilgrims. So we can influence. We can influence. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we then heed the applicable spiritual truths of Deuteronomy 17:14 to 20 to be used of God, to be a great blessing in filling the void left by today's widespread failure of leaders. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this dear man of God, David, who lived many centuries ago, but who is a man who came to the throne in Israel, who obeyed the word of God, who submitted humbly to the leadership of God in his life, and he was used in a mighty way to take a nation that was a fledgling, struggling nation and turn around and make it into a beautiful powerhouse. And he was able to leave his son Solomon, a nation that was very, very strong, extremely influential, and had reached maximum size. And we recognize that he did it by faith. He did it by faith and by obeying the word of God. You can use us as believers to do so today. And we ask, Father, that we would catch a glimpse of the hope that is available if we pay attention to the word of God and how you can use us to be an influence to people around us. We ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our service or who may be listening to this broadcast in some way who as yet has not made the decision to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would make that decision today, that they might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.